Amen. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. The bulletin didn't have the full title of the message there. I didn't realize that until I looked at it. The message in the bulletin says, life is a garden, and should have read, life is garbage or a garden. Okay. Life is garbage or a garden. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. I appreciate so much your prayers for us. Last Sunday night, we went down to Grand Rapids to the pass out gospel tracts before the fireworks, and I just can't thank you enough for praying. As I mentioned Wednesday night, have not had that good of a reception from the people down there in years and years. And so they were just respectful for the overall most part. So appreciate your prayers. And also, Brother Jim mentioned for the park minister yesterday, it just felt like the messages really come together well and everything. And we appreciate so much your prayers there. Galatians 5, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. We pray for those who could not be here, some not feeling well, some traveling. And Lord, I pray you just comfort and help them in where they are this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what? Serve one another. So could you give a Bible verse that led you to this church? Verse 13, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. There you go. So I remember that verse. Okay. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And this, all these belong in the garbage pail. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the what? The fruit of the Spirit. Now we get to the good stuff. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, I was reading through my Bible and came across this passage, and I just thought, you know, those works of the flesh, those fruits of the flesh, starting in verse 19, they're all garbage. But the fruits of the Spirit, they are cool and refreshing. Yesterday after the park ministry, there was all kinds of good food, but there was this one big bowl, and it looked like blueberries, and it was white. I don't know if it was Cool Whip or what it was. It looked so good. I didn't dare try it because I thought there's probably sugar in this, but boy, it looked refreshing. And as I think of fruit, especially this time of year, cold, luscious fruit. It's good. Quenches the thirst. But as people think about our lives, which portrays our lives here? The bowl of fruit or the garbage pail? You stop and think about the people who live very wealthy, the people who never take out their own garbage. Some of those people died on 911 in New York. And I'll never forget, they said just, I don't know, a very short matter of days, and they said, the rubble of the Twin Towers smelled like a garbage dump. Why? Bodies. Dead bodies. The garbage. The dump. How will people remember us? How do they think of us? When they think of us, do they think of something bad, garbage pail, trash? Or do they think of us as something good, helpful in our lives? How many of you have ever gotten a little thinking of you type note from someone? Just a little note saying someone was praying for you or thinking of you. Okay. How many on those note cards, how many of you have ever received a little note card of some type with flowers or fruit on it? Something like that. Okay. All right. How many of you have ever gotten a thinking of you card with a garbage pail on the front? Anyone? If you got a card like that, what do you think would be the message? I don't think much of you. So they wouldn't take their time. It's kind of like downtown, you know, all they get is the bad calls. If everyone who appreciated us being down there called 911 and said they appreciated us, well, first of all, they would holler at them because that's a misuse of 911. Somehow, I think calling to complain about a church group 911 is also a misuse of 911. But the point is when people complain, you know, they're probably not going to write you a little thank you note when they're complaining about you. They're not going to waste their time, is the thing. So, but what portrays our lives the most? How do people think of us? This week, early in the morning, it was before we got some rain, and so the sun wasn't up yet, and we did a little project in our backyard, and we planted some grass, and I noticed the previous week the new grass was getting really brown and dying, and so I thought I need to water that before the hot sun comes out. So I was out there watering, and I really did not notice there was any breeze blowing, but suddenly I got a waft of food cooking, and it was coming from the woods, and I thought the closest house in those woods is, I would guess, I don't know, 200-300 yards away. And I thought, wow. And I mean, this did not smell like breakfast was burning. This smelled like good breakfast. And I thought, wow, that's really something that my nose can smell that all the way through those woods. And so I'm out there watering, and then that smell kind of died out through the woods. And then from the southwest, I started smelling someone else's breakfast going. And I thought, I never realized the human nose was so sensitive. I mean, animals are, I looked it up, and they say that a deer's nose is 10,000 times more sensitive than ours. So it's no wonder they can smell us. And that's what I was thinking as I was out there watering that new grass. I was thinking, wow, if God made our noses, we can pick up food that far away from another house. I thought, wow, it's no wonder that we just come outside and the animals can smell us. Their noses are so sensitive. And it makes me think, how do people perceive us? If you walk in the house and smell garbage, or do you walk in the house and smell food? Quite a difference, isn't it? How do people think of us? Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. You know what? God created man to live in a garden, not in a garbage pit. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. God created us to live in a garden. Then why are we living in a garbage pit, as it were, today, of this world? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a what? A garden eastward in Eden. And there he put who? The man whom he had formed. So God created man and put him in a garden. God wants us in a garden atmosphere. God wants us, Galatians 5, to practice the fruits of the Spirit. God doesn't want us to practice a garbage life. You know, sometimes in sports, people will taunt others. I'm glad I didn't hear that yesterday. We played a little family softball yesterday, and I didn't hear any of that, hey, better, swing, you know, the taunting, you know. And sometimes, in all kinds of sports, they have talk. And what do they call that type of talk? Trash talk. There you go. Garbage talk. Now, we're to have the fruit of the Spirit. And it's funny, even the world picks that up. That's trash talk. That's garbage. God doesn't want us to live that way. Notice in Revelation 22, he started out put man in a garden. And he's going to end up putting man in a garden-type atmosphere. So why should we live in the garbage dump? When I was a boy, they didn't have trash pickup. And we just changed our trash provider. I don't know what you call it. You know, you have to be so careful of offending people today, you know. I guess it's, we changed sanitation engineers, okay. But there was a man who was half the price, but I was locked in for 3 months to a waste hauler, and when I went to call back that man, he's just been diagnosed with a terminal disease, has just a short time to live. And so he was just starting his business, and now it's ending. But anyway, I found another one, and that was cheaper than the one I had. But I told my wife, I says, wow, this is the first time I ever remember a trash hauler bringing us a brand new garbage pail. The trash hauler we've had, when it was delivered to us, it was garbage. I mean, it had a slit in the bottom, and it was dirty. And this is brand new, brand new. Well, God put man in a garden. God wants man to live like the garden, the fruits of the Spirit. And he's going to end up putting us in a garden, but man so often lives in the garbage. As I mentioned, when I was a boy, they didn't have trash haulers. And so just down the road, my grandfather had 100 acres of ground, farmers used to just find a ravine, a valley. They'd dump their trash in there, and When it got so they couldn't hardly stand it, they'd get a tractor or a bulldozer and put some dirt over that and start again. Well, it was really a gross place to go. The dump is what we called it. God doesn't want us to live that way. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a what? Pure river. Doesn't remind you of the garbage dump, does it? There was a place over Muskegon, as you east of Muskegon, and our children affectionately called that Mount Trashmore over there. And boy, it would stink, or it stunk. I don't know which English word I should use there. But anyway, it smelled bad. And heading into Muskegon, huge mountain of trash. But here he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there what? The tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Growing is going to be sped up tremendously. Every month, the tree of life has a new fruit, a new harvest, a different fruit. I've noticed in the apple orchard down the road here, and the freeze or the cold weather and the lack of bee activity when the blossoms were out, some of his trees don't have one apple on them. Others have just a few apples. And other variety of apples, the trees are loaded. Just depending on when they blossomed and how warm the days were, whether the bees were out. What a tremendous difference. But here, the tree of life, one day God is going to put us in a garden-type atmosphere. And that's the way he wants to live, not in the garbage pail, but in the fruit basket. That's how he wants us to live. But you know what? The dump is going to be for the lost. The dump is going to be for the unsaved. Notice in Matthew 25, God created a dump, if you please. Matthew chapter 25. There was a valley outside of Jerusalem that pictured. It's where they burnt their trash. It's where people, unsaved, offered their children to their idols. And the smoke was always walking. You know how it is when you burn trash. It just seems like the smoke just continues. It just kind of smolders there. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. So God didn't prepare hell for man. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. The sad thing is, though, if you read this whole chapter, people who reject Jesus Christ are going to go to that dump, to that place where the fire never goes out. Notice in Mark chapter 9, you may say, well, I've never heard hell called the dump. Well, look at Mark chapter 9, and you might understand why I'm calling it this morning a dump. Mark chapter 9, verse 43, Mark 9, 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where there what? Worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It repeats this over and over. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where there what? Worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And on it goes again, three times. So have you ever seen garbage crawling with maggots? Have you ever opened a garbage pail and quickly closed it? Oh, boy, it can be so gross. The hot time of the year especially, many times I'll put the garbage in a like these little plastic grocery sacks, tie it shut. And then before I take it out there, I'll put it in like a 13-gallon plastic bag and tie that shut. Why? Because I don't like to open the garbage pail and seeing all these white things crawling all over. You thought you were getting hungry, didn't you? Not now. So I don't enjoy that sight. And so I try to prevent that. And with that method, most of the time, I don't have to look at that. But hell is pictured for us here as a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is like a garbage dump. Fire burning the refuse and worms crawling everywhere. So what a horrible, horrible picture. God doesn't want us to live that way. How does he want us to live? Let's go back to Galatians 5 and let's begin to see a few things here. God wants us to live a garden life, not a garbage life. Let's take a walk through the garden and hit a few things here this morning. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's Galatians 5:13-14. So I see, first of all here, to live the garden life, we need to walk in the spirit of service. To fulfill those fruits at the end, we need to walk in the spirit of service. You know what? A person who is demanding and selfish, you know what? People get tired of others like that. They get tired. When that type of person comes, they think, what do they want? And when that type of person dies, inside, people think, good riddance. Here's this demanding person that only thought of himself. It's like a person that only talks about himself. People get tired of that. People appreciate if you will serve them. When Solomon died, the people came to his son, Rehoboam, and they wanted him to ease the burden. Solomon had been a hard taskmaster. And so young Rehoboam went to the elderly men and said, what should I do? And they told him, if you will serve these people, they will be your servants forever. But he didn't listen to them. He went to the young men that had grown up with him. And they said, hey, now's your chance. Hey, they're complaining. Lay it on, boy. Lay it on. Tell them you're gonna chastise them with scorpions. Well, that did not work, and they all left him. So the way to live the fruit of the Spirit is a life of service, a life of giving ourselves. What can we do to help others? If we only care about ourselves, you know, young people don't care that you have a nice house. Young people are wondering, how am I ever going to get a house? The way it looks. Young people don't care that you have a nice car. They're trying to get by with a rattle trap Model A that they're driving and wondering if they're ever going to be able to get anything dependable. And if we live a garbage life, we only care about ourselves. But if we will show compassion, a life of service, they won't think of us just as a garbage pail. Can't wait for the garbage pickup day, i.e. the hearse. That's the prodigal son. That's all he cared about was money. How will they think about us? Notice in Mark chapter 10, you might want to hold your place there in Galatians 5, but Mark chapter 10, how do people think of us? If we only think about ourselves, we're like the garbage pail to them. They can't wait till somebody comes along and hauls us away. Mark chapter 10. How can we live the fruits of the Spirit? Mark chapter 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise what? Lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your what? Minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be what? Servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The garbage life. That's how the end times are going to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Garbage time. We're living in that time right now. What kind of a savor, what kind of a smell are we to people? Garbage or garden? Acts 20:35, the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What do people think of a child at Christmas time who's only interested in opening his own gifts? Well, that child many times will open a gift and will show his disdain or dislike for something he opens. And people will either say it or be thinking it, that spoiled brat, you know, that's what they'll be thinking. Doesn't appreciate gifts. How do people think of us? How do people think? So we need to take a walk in the garden, and we need to walk in the spirit of service. Back in Galatians 5, number 2, we need to walk in the spirit of humility. Walk in the spirit of humility. Galatians 5, verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. No one likes to listen to a chronic complainer. I get tired. People get tired of that. And it is possible for us to actually be serving but complaining. If not outwardly, inwardly. Yesterday we went to go to the park ministry. And we gathered up everything, and I was just ready to leave. Thought we had everything. And then suddenly hit me. I don't have the scripture verses. And so come back in here and looked around. Couldn't find them. Went home, looked, couldn't find them. And so we finally discovered where they were. They were in a trunk. Not my trunk. But, you know, my first thought was, inside was to start complaining. I thought, no, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will do it. And we have to fight that spirit of complaining. We have to walk in humility. Notice in chapter 6 here, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. What? Restore such an one. Not complain or not talk about them, but restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Whatever is happening to someone else could be happening to us. We think of the Bruce family and the great trial they're going through right now. That could happen to any one of us. We need to bear their burdens. We need to pray. And I believe you are praying for them, and your heart goes out to them. And that could happen to any one of us. I know of a young man, you know of him too. He was engaged to be married. And while he was engaged to be married, his wife-to-be got in an automobile accident and was paralyzed. And then he had a decision. Do I go ahead and marry her? Or do I just back off and find someone else? Well, he went ahead and married her. And We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to bear one another's burdens. Do we think about the daily struggle that would be? That would be a great hardship. We need to walk in humility. There is nothing that has happened to someone else, but what could happen to us in just a moment's time? Are we walking in humility? If we are, we will be like the fruit basket to other people. If we are walking in pride, we're like the garbage pail. We're a stench to someone else. Number three, we'll stop with this one. We need to walk in the spirit of purity. Walk in the spirit of purity. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That is why we don't play rock music and put Christian words to it. That's just making a war going on, a battle in here. And why make a battle going on? The beat entices our flesh, and the words try to speak to our spirits, and all it does is create a war inside. So walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Would we sell out to the Russians? I hear there were some Russian spies in America, and they were caught recently. Would we sell out to Russia? You'd say, of course not. We personally. Would we ever, for any amount of money, sell secrets to Russia? No. Would we sell out to the Chinese? No. We wouldn't give them information for money. That would be destroying our country. And what good would money do then? Well, if that's the case, then why would we sell out to Satan? Well, every time we fall to some deception or enticement, that's what we're doing. We're selling out to Satan. We wouldn't sell out to the Russians. We wouldn't sell out to the Chinese. And why would we sell out to Satan? This week I was reading, and there was a pastor, and his wife was raised, I guess, in a gospel-preaching church. But now she is the author of many books leading people away from God. And obviously she was just a tare. Not wheat, but a tare, T-A-R-E. And it showed later on she began to write books and away from God, instead of her husband fasting and praying and trying to turn her to the truth, he kind of succumbed to her way of life, changed his occupation. Satan wants to destroy our homes. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Satan wants to destroy our homes. Let's not sell out to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 7, 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again that, who? Satan, tempt you not for your incontinency. Incontinency means lack of self-control. This world is so geared for lust. Well, you know what? If we give in to that, we're selling out to Satan. We're selling out. We should give love and affection and devotion to our families, not to the enticement of this world. That's like hanging a sign on our home saying, "Welcome, Satan." No, he should not be welcome in our home. So, you know, which life are we going to live? The garbage life That's the Galatians 5, all those fruits of the flesh. We'll be looking at those. No, we want to live the fruits of the Spirit. What a difference. Remember, God started out man in a garden. God will end saved man in a garden. How are we living in between times? Are we living in the garbage pail? Well, if we're living for sin, all of sin rots everything. It's living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we want. May God help us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, we thank you. You started out man in the garden with the fruit, and you will end with redeemed mankind in a garden atmosphere, a paradise atmosphere. Oh, Lord, how are we living now? Lord, I pray that we would be in your word and in prayer so that the enticements of the world will get thrown right in the garbage pail real quick, and that we will realize that will rot our lives. Sin is always rotten at the core. No matter how enticing it looks on the outside, it's always rotten at the core. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us not to live garbage pail lives, but garden lives. I pray, Lord, if there should be any here this morning who have never been saved, I pray you'd help them to realize that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, that he came to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life and gave his pure, precious blood on the cross for our sins. And that if we will turn from our sin to you, you will save us and cleanse us. Have your way in our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please.